Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Spike Eskin, Ike Reese, along with Jack Fritz, and our friend and Eagles Insider of the Year contestant, Elliot Shoreparks, who is brought to us by BQ Basements and Concrete, foundation repair, basement waterproofing, and crawl space experts. Call today for a free inspection. To book your appointment, go to basementsbybq.com. Elliot, before we get into the press conference itself,
yes,
obviously we've been discussing, and at some point on the show this week, we will reveal the first official rankings of power rankings of Eagles Insider of the Year.
Yes.
How important is it to you? And then B, where do you think you stand within the field before we get the first ranking?
I mean, look, I think Howard Eskin is one of the best Eagles reporters of all time. So even to be in the running with him, and some say ahead of him, is really, I mean, it's huge for me. So I learned a lot from Howard. I listened to him growing up. So to be on the same level with him, to do that, it's awesome. And we'll see how the rest of the year goes.
So before we get to the press conference itself as well, we were talking about how many questions you asked. I thought I heard two.
I was the first one.
Yeah. So Jack mentioned you were the first.
Yes.
Somebody on this show, me or Ike or Jack, noted that maybe you were given the first question because they knew it would be a softball.
No. So here's some behind the scenes.
Okay.
If anyone's listened to Eagles press conferences, you know that there's a lot of yelling, and you have to yell and get your question in.
Yeah.
Me, as a veteran and one of the Insider of the Year candidates, I know if I go first, I'll definitely get my question. I'll have to yell over all these people. So when they sit down, as a veteran move, I jump right in there.
Okay. And there's not other... Oh.
But there's other people that want to have the first question.
Well, then they should ask it.
No, don't get defensive. I'm just trying to go through the process.
I'm just questioning your dignity.
Well, I'm just wondering why do they go to you first?
Well, that's what I'm saying. They don't go to me.
Do they not choose who they're going to go to with the question?
No, they don't. When they sit down, there's a silence of, all right, here we go, and whoever jumps in first goes. Later in the press conference, you're right, Howie does go, I'll go you and you.
That's what I'm talking about.
But that's because everyone's yelling at the same time. So he goes like, I hear everybody, I'll do you, you, and you. The first question is just whoever jumps in.
You're just ready to go.
Well, yeah, look, I have a bit of a quiet voice. I want to make sure I get it in there first.
I mean, you would think with all the big J's down there.
Sure.
I mean, Elliot, I don't even know if they really even consider him still being a big J. He's such a radio
guy.
Many
are asking, yeah.
Down there, I agree. Do the other scribes sort of respect you like that? They let you go first?
Well, they didn't let me go first. I went first.
Ooh.
Does Jeff McClain stand in the back, passive-aggressively thinking,
tweeting about you?
Okay. Yeah. So, do you think Elliot was given the first question because they knew it would be a softball? 215-592-94.
This could be Jack's next poll question. Yeah. I'm sure everybody will
Jack,
vote.
Could you put that
up on it's okay.
Twitter? Okay.
It's okay. Yeah.
So what did you... Forget about overall because it was mostly 75% of it was blah, 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 blah,
right.
blah. He got specifically defensive, Howie Roseman did, when KYW's Dave Urim asked him about the Hassan Reddick trade. Mm-hmm. What do you think that was about? It was strange.
Yeah, so first let me say, in all seriousness, Urim deserves a ton of credit. He asks great questions at these press conferences. He's had a lot of them. So I give him credit for the question.
Thank you for getting that out of the way first.
No problem. Just
good respect to other journalists.
Exactly, exactly. But I say that to say, I was surprised because as someone that's been at every Howie Roseman press conference for the past 10 years, he is very, very good at these press conferences. You don't often catch him off guard. You don't often get under his skin. And I was surprised at his answer there. So I do think you know, probably deep down, how he knows it was not a popular move. He probably feels like he answered it earlier when he said, we have Nolan Smith, we have Bryce Huff, we brought back Josh Sweat, we have BG. So I just think he was probably not in the mood to defend the move anymore. That's because you never see him look irritated like that. Right? Yeah. He's very good, and especially this press conference.
Sure.
This press conference is all about going up there, sending the message you want to send, not revealing anything. And I think that's probably he came in ready for that, and so maybe he didn't feel like explaining Reddick anymore.
Well, I mean, that in itself lends you to believe that there is something that was there that may not have been football related. I mean, what it does is it leads people to speculate, why was it bittersweet? How, you know, why isn't he still here? He was under contract. Like, there was nothing that precluded them from doing all the moves they did and still having Hassan Reddick here.
So,
like, that is still.
I think trading Hassan Reddick was a mistake. And I think and I think a year from now, there's a chance we look at this trade and go, this was a real reason why the season did not go the way that we all think it could. Because if they don't get pressure on the quarterback, the back seven currently is not good enough to hold up. So getting pressure on the quarterback is arguably like number one, two, and three on defense for making them good.
Sure.
I also think there is a chance that a year from now we look at this and go, wow, they got Bryce Huff, who turned out to be everything they thought. Josh Sweat rebounded. Nolan Smith was a first-round pick for a reason. And they got that draft pick. So my guess is on why Howie got defensive is that he probably has more information about why this was done. And to your point about the speculating, we don't have all the information. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, we can only base our opinion off the information we have. I think Howie makes good trades, so I think he deserves in some ways the benefit of the doubt. But it is so out of character for him to trade a player of this caliber. I understand why people want a more clear explanation as to why it was.
Well, especially if Hassan still doesn't get a new deal in New York.
And he still has not gotten a new deal.
Yeah.
I don't think Hassan's going to get the money people think that he was going to get.
Or that he thought he was going to get.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if the Jets were willing to pay him $25 million a year, he would have that $25 million a year. My guess is if he gets a new deal, when he does, it will be much closer to the 2019-ish range, and it's going to be 25-26.
We're here with Eagles Insider of the Year candidate Elliot Shore Parks. One
change of Twitter bio.
Why did you read it like that was an NPR stuff?
Yeah, it really did feel that way.
Well, I'm really settling in.
Yeah,
I'm really settling in.
We're here with.
Yes.
Last thing on Reddick. Are you surprised? Clearly, there's something else there. There has to be. Are you surprised that whatever that story is has not come out somewhere?
So I think we know the story. The story is, we saw at the end of the year, the culture in that building was not great. We saw the incident on the field where Hassan and Nick yelled at each other. We talk so often about how this team looked dead on arrival. Now, is that only Hassan's fault? No, of course not. Leadership starts with Jalen, the offense, all those things. But I think the Eagles traded Hassan Reddick for a number of reasons, and I don't think there's a smoking gun we haven't found out. Hassan Reddick wanted a lot of money. They didn't want to pay him for him. He wasn't going to be happy if he didn't get that money, so they traded him to another team. I also think they wanted to switch things up from a culture perspective. And I think that's it. I don't think there was a big fight between Jalen and AJ in the locker room. Jalen and Hassan in the locker room or anything. Any of this big story hasn't come out. I think they wanted to change the culture. And as part of that, they swapped out all their ends besides Josh Sweat, basically.
Now,
I hear you say that. And then I'll hear people like the King, the other Insider of the Year nominee.
Of the others.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'll hear him say that the whole locker room stuff is overblown, that there wasn't anything going on. The Jets weren't a very good football team.
I disagree with that.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying, but you'll hear people say that it wasn't anything going on in the locker room. It was just the team wasn't good enough. The players weren't good enough.
Well, where I would maybe agree with that is I think the bad locker room culture was the result of the losing. I mean, in 2022, no one thought Hassan Reddick was maybe an issue in the locker room. And Jalen was the prototype of what we wanted a quarterback. And look how steady-handed he is on the sideline. When you lose, everything's perceived differently. So too many players.
And it also reveals true character.
Yeah, I think that's also true. I mean, look, we did the Players Lounge, the Brandon Graham Show. There was too many times where players talked about the culture in the locker room for me to just sit here and go, that wasn't a problem. I just think it was the result of losing. But you're right. It does reveal.
Listen, when you lose games,
right,
that starts to make people act a little differently because jobs get tight. you know, you start moving coordinators out and certain – I don't even remember if anybody got benched last year. Nobody got benched last year, right?
Besides Desai, no.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Besides yeah. Desai, no player did. but to your point, there are things that could transpire throughout the course of the season. And how about this? Just the Eagles seeing the way certain guys handled that stretch of bad football. I say that reveals true character. Well, some guys stood up. They tried to hold this thing together.
AJ?
Like you had some guys who did that, and then maybe behind the scenes you had guys that were maybe pulling apart or certainly weren't helping to sort of bridge and pull the team together, and the Eagles realized that, and maybe that's why they moved on from certain
guys.
Well,
and this is where I've kind of disagreed with what the Eagles are doing this offseason to an extent, is a lot of their moves have been about culture. We miss C.J. Gardner-Johnson. We really missed what he brought to the building. You know, maybe Hassan is traded because of culture. The culture starts with Jalen Hurts. You can't build a culture with what are – Hassan's more than a role player, but are not main guys. I mean, Hassan Reddick, he is a defensive end. He is not the quarterback of the team. An analogy I'll use, and Spike, I don't know if you follow the Sixers or not, but last year when they had P.J. Tucker, right?
I just listened to Odyssey's number one
exactly,
Sixers
right.
podcast.
Exactly, right. You're welcome.
The rights to Ricky Council.
Yeah. But last year when the Sixers brought in P.J. Tucker, it was, well, he's going to be a dog. He's going to be all these things. At the end of the day, they followed Joel's leadership. Like, they were his personality.
I think and Harden to a degree.
And Harden, yeah, exactly. But it wasn't P.J. Tucker. He could yell at people. He could do those things, and I think he was beneficial. But what happened in Game 6 and 7? Like, he could only do so much. With this Eagles team, the culture is not going to be fixed by trading Hassan Reddick. It's not going to be fixed by bringing Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. It's going to be fixed by the quarterback being a better leader in times of need.
And the quarterback and who's the other person?
The head
who
coach.
Leads that, right.
But he is a good culture guy.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
But I guess my point would be, I don't know that bad cultures happen under good culture guys. And if he's such a good culture guy, why do they take away responsibility for him right after? If you believe in him as a culture guy, that is a bad look.
So you're talking about the Kellen Moore thing. Mm-hmm. I view this differently. I think when Doug fell apart here in 2017, 2018, 2019, they only hired from within and they had no fresh ideas ever. They promoted Press Taylor. They tried to bring in Scangarello. That didn't work. But we all saw that thing fall apart because it was stale and they needed new ideas. I agree that they have taken power away from Nick to an extent with the offense. But I do genuinely view it more as bringing in outside ideas because they saw the last time they were in the Super Bowl how stale it got by backing their own guys repeatedly. So you're right about taking away power, but I think there is a genuine truth in bringing in new ideas to the team.
So we've been talking about the draft, which is obviously the first round Thursday and Friday next week.
Next Thursday, yeah.
I got the draft party, I would assume.
Ike is saying that I am being too safe and he doesn't want the team to be safe by taking a guard on the offensive line. What is your position on that?
I don't think it's safe to take an offensive guard.
Sure it is.
No, I don't think it's safe at all. Why would it be safe?
Well, because it's a position that has less a chance of failing versus a high, what is it? What would you call it?
High leverage.
A high leverage position, like corner, where you can get exposed on an island, like a defensive end. And if you're not getting sacks, you can't show how much you are an asset to the team. At tackle, left tackle, right tackle, you're on an island blocking defensive ends. At quarterback, your play obviously speaks for itself. Running back, I would almost say guard is the position that is the safest position to draft outside of defensive tackle. It's the safest position to draft because you can hide that guy. You can hide his deficiencies. You don't have to actually hit. You won't get judged like taking a corner or a wide out or a defensive end where we're looking for production. All you can do, because we don't grade linemen, and they can tell you how great he is at the offensive line position, this and that and the other, but it's a low impact, low risk. I guess you could say high reward, but it's a low risk position.
High ceiling, low floor type of play.
Yeah.
But so I agree with most of that. And I do think that the offensive guard can benefit from having a great center and a great tackle next to him, probably more than any other position on the field. A corner, you need great safety play, but ultimately you're on an island more than you are with the offensive guard.
Yep.
To me, though, I don't view it as a safe pick, and I do think they will be under scrutiny, is because it is the biggest need on the team. So to go out.
The biggest need on the team is a guard?
The biggest need on the team is an offensive guard.
Nah.
It absolutely is.
Well, it's not. There's no absolute. It's your opinion.
Yes, yes. In my opinion.
It's not an absolute. I don't think it's the biggest.
In my opinion.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
But the team will only go as far as their offensive line takes them. And right now, the middle of their offensive line is a question mark. So while I get your point that if you take a stud Pro Bowl corner, that helps the team more than a guard does holistically, the Eagles need a guard more than they need a corner.
And there, no, they don't.
I think you can
find a guard. You can find a guard just like they have throughout there. Only Landon Dickerson being taken in the second round. They found guards in the third round, fifth round, sixth round. Like, you can find a guard. Where you know where they haven't found a guard? In the first round. That's where they haven't found a guard. In the first round. As a matter of fact, they found one lineman in the first round.
So,
in the last 15 years, and that's Lane Johnson, who was the fourth pick in the draft. And by the way, he wouldn't have gotten drafted hadn't the dumbass team in Miami traded in front of him and took Deion Jordan. We would have Deion Jordan here, who would have been gone in 2 years.
We all wanted Deion Jordan.
I like Deion Jordan, as did Chip. But what I would say is that if you look at the – let's use cornerback, for example. Mm-hmm. They have not invested high resources in that position, and they've gotten
what do you mean?
Darius Slay, they traded for a third. They got a third-round pick.
Bradbury, how much money they paid Darius Slay?
You mean draft.
You mean draft picks.
Yeah, they have not drafted
resources. Well, you said high resource. I mean, money is resource.
Yes, it is. You're right. Money is a resource. But I think draft picks are more valuable than cap space. So the point I'm making is, in using the offensive line, they've invested big-time draft resources in that position because it's more important. When it comes to the corner, Slay they got for a third. Bradbury they signed as a free agent. Maddox, who's been good when they've needed him, what was he, a fourth or fifth-round pick?
Mm-hmm.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Maddox has been good for 1 year.
He's been good for more than 1 year.
Really?
Maybe if you combine all of his games over 4 years, but I'm saying when he's played at a high level. He was good the Super Bowl year. He was
high level.
Yes, high level.
What's the benchmark here for this stuff, man? Like, what high level how?
Well, they
lead the team in interceptions one year or something?
They had the number one ranked pass defense with him as
when
their
they played
corner.
A bunch of garbage quarterbacks. Don't make me go over this again.
Well,
we know the quarterbacks they played in 2022. They played a bunch of backup quarterbacks.
And they dominated them. They dominated.
As you should dominate
and they
backup
did.
Quarterbacks.
That's the point
That's
I'm making.
That's what they had. They had an all-star defense.
They did. You're right. With Avante at nickel, Slay at corner, and Bradbury.
Yep.
And none of those guys took big resources to acquire. That's my point.
No, my point is that when you bring up Avante, I can say that about any of their linemen. Jason Kelce didn't take high resources.
Right.
Yeah, I could say that about other positions too. I could say that. That's easy to state. What I'm telling you right now is this defense doesn't have enough playmaking players in their stable. And I'm not just talking about for this year. I'm talking about moving forward. The idea of adding somebody that's going to help them win the Super Bowl is already out the window from a starter standpoint. That's out the window. You're talking about drafting a guard. You're talking about drafting a guard. Like, the guard is really – so the guard is going to make them what? They can't find another guard?
You keep saying they'll just find guards.
They have.
But they've found corners. They have found corners. Slay they got for cheap. Bradbury they got for cheap. CJ Johnson.
They got Slay for cheap where?
A third round pick is what they paid for Slay. I know, but I'm talking about using draft resources because you're saying that the use of a guard at 22 is not worth it because you can find them. They have found corners other places without the high draft picks. And in terms of winning the Super Bowl next year, no player helps them get the Super Bowl next year more than a guard.
I got a front row seat to this.
Yeah.
This is
every Tuesday.
Yeah, I've heard it on the radio.
This is every Tuesday.
Yeah. I've never
the whole guard nonsense, I've never even heard in my life.
Yeah,
This team, with all the talent they have on offense, now if they don't get a guard, they're ruined.
Because the talent on offense doesn't matter if Jalen doesn't have time in the pocket.
So you mean to tell me—
We saw last year Jalen escape the pocket like
so
this.
So a guard is going to solidify it.
It's going to help. It's going to help a lot more than a corner.
Oh, my God. It's going to help a lot.
It's true. The AJ, Saquon, I mean, Saquon knows how important a good offensive line is.
What I'm telling you, Elliot, what I'm telling you is that you don't need to spend a first-round pick
NPR voice
at that position. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
You can
play someone, even if you take a guard in the third round. Be my guest. You're going to get the same level of player. Now, if there's a Landon Dickerson sitting there,
right?
Okay, then show me that there's a Landon Dickerson sitting there that you're taking with this pick.
So I just
fine.
I disagree with you fundamentally that you can just find guards anywhere. You can find players anywhere. Just like look at the secondary, they found players anywhere. They found their franchise quarterback in the second round. Ultimately, at 22, I believe the best pick, A, based off the player, other than a receiver, which is where I really want them to go. But if they're not going to go receiver, an offensive guard is the best high-impact
signing for them. Stop saying offensive guard.
I'm not going to stop saying offensive guard.
Well, it's just a guard.
Yeah, but it is an offensive guard.
Well,
it's not
no
a high-impact position.
It is on this team. I agree fundamentally if we're building a team.
On this team.
Well, it is. We're not drafting like just some random team.
So
we're
defense doesn't matter on this team.
They have defense.
They do?
Yes. There's more talent on this defense than people give it credit for.
Really?
And the best thing they did is bringing in Vic Fangio.
The worst aspect of the team, there's more talent there.
No, they have more talent on offense and defense.
Okay.
But they're not at a point with defense where you have to ignore a gaping hole on
so
offense.
So did they not have the worst passing defense last year?
Yeah, they had the worst
Did they not have the worst scoring defense?
I don't know where they finished.
You think I'm asking questions?
No, they finished 32.
So then my point is this. How is there so much talent there? Now you're going to tell me because Vic Fangio is there now.
Yes.
You're the same guy who told me that Jonathan Gannon was great.
Clearly he was based off last year. Because look at the results last year versus the year before with mostly the same guys.
The year before they played against backup quarterbacks. They played Sam Howells, Daniel Jones.
And look what
they played garbage quarterbacks.
But look what they did against the corners this year when they had better coaching. They shut Mahomes down. They shut Tua down. They shut Mahomes down. They had 16 points in that game.
They dropped 6 passes in that game.
I mean, people drop passes. Like, you can't go through every
defense. Wide open guys.
I know. They dropped
passes. So they didn't shut anybody down.
But the result is the result. And the result is even if one of them catches those touchdowns, they're only still at 23 or 24 points.
So the results is all that matter.
Yes.
When the team was 10-1, nobody cared about the results.
That's a good point. Actually.
When the team was 10-1, nobody cared about the results because it was look with your eyes. My eyes are telling me they aren't a 10-1 team. So now I'm using that same argument.
But that wasn't me.
I don't care if it was you
saying,
or not. I'm just saying that there are people that are listening, so that when they're being influenced by our conversation and you're throwing out results only matter, I want to remind everybody that the results didn't matter to everybody when the team was winning.
I get that. And there are areas they need to improve. I'm not saying their defense is set up to succeed right now. I'm saying offensive guard helps this team more than any other position.
Ladies and gentlemen, Elliot Shore Parks and Ike Reese. I just had a front seat to that. I mean,
well, it's good to have you back.
This is every week?
Sometimes.
Yes, about 80% of the time.
I don't have to do anything.
Sometimes it's me and Jack. But,
coming up next, Sixers Heat tomorrow.
you'll get your chance with him, too.
Oh, I know. I know. Trust, I have a whole queue of things.
Excited.
Yeah, I'll wait until after the draft.
Yeah, I used to respect you as a football guy.
I know. It's a shame.
You're one of the few guys I respect as a football guy.
And I was just about to say it's such an honor to be on the first Fritz, Spike, and Ike show.
But
I guess I'll take that back now.
Coming up next, Sixers Heat tomorrow.
It rolls off the tongue.
Sixers Heat tomorrow, we have a myth about Jimmy Butler that I have to clarify next. And is beating the Heat a significant playoff win for the Sixers? Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.